Today on Real Radio.
Rahab got on board, so to speak, by faith. Could the entire city have received God? Absolutely yes, but they refused him. So judgment comes.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues in his series through the book of Joshua. Now, the last 11 verses of chapter 6 take a look at the account of Joshua and the people of Israel entering and taking Jericho after that wall miraculously fell down in front of them. Now, only a very specific handful of the city's people were to be spared. Who were those people? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a presentation called A Matter of Life or Death.
Joshua chapter 6. By the way, the commentary of this portion of Scripture is like a micro commentary on the existence and the nature of our world around us. This world that you and I live in, if you like it or not, is under judgment. And the judgment, by the way, is increasing, and the judgment ultimately will be poured out upon this earth. There's a population within this world that does not want to look or listen to the claims of God. They want to exist in their atheistic belief. They think maybe that if God can be argued out of their minds, then there's nothing to be accountable for in the end. But the wheels of judgment are grinding. I got a note from somebody a couple weeks ago. We came and visited your church, but we don't want to come back because it was too fire and brimstone. Well, gosh, I tried to figure out, what did I say about fire and brimstone? Well, I approached this message this morning tiptoeing then. This is going to be some hot stuff. I didn't write the book. But listen carefully to this. The Bible says the world is under judgment. It's on reserve for judgment. Why? Because an atheistic world demands that God stay out of their face. A God that they don't believe in, a God that they fail to bow to. And God, who does not delight in judgment, is left with no other alternative, but because he is just and righteous, he must execute judgment. He hates it. He has no pleasure in it. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold down, suppress." The word in the Greek means to sit on a kettle. You ever seen a kettle that's boiling? The world wants to sit on the lid of that kettle and hold down that lid of the fact that God exists and that he is righteous. Romans chapter 1 goes on to say, "Who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God has been manifest to them." They know internally that God exists. "For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen." Almost sounds like a contradiction, but in reality it's not. "Being seen and understood by the things which he has made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that all of creation is without excuse. Because although they knew about God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened, and professing themselves to be wise, they have become fools." The city of Jericho is now under attack. And in our last study, what were the children of Israel doing? They were coming out from their encampment there at Gilgal, and they would circle around Jericho. One time, the priests were out there blowing the trumpets, remember? Everybody was silent. And they would make that one circuit on the first day and back to the camp. And then the second day, they would come out and make that circuit and go back to the camp. And on the sixth day, they came and made their last final circuit one time and then back to the camp. But on the seventh day, they came out in the same procession, in the same order, but they marched around it seven times because judgment was coming and the hour had come. Why the delay? Why the repeated circling of the Israeli army and the Israeli priests and of the people of Israel? In our last time together, I mentioned to you that I believe it was God announcing his mercy. Turn and repent, stop the way you're going and come back to him, or return to Him. Or maybe for the first time in your life, bow your knee to Him. I think God was very much of the mindset to have Jericho repent. We know that's true concerning His nature. Remember Jonah? Jonah went to Nineveh, and he walked down the street, and he said, 40 days and Nineveh burns. That's fire and brimstone message. 40 days and you're toast. 40 days and you fry. Nineveh was a horrible Gentile, wicked, pagan place. And Jonah was a good Jewish boy. And he went back up, sat on the hill, and he said, this is going to be great. I'm going to watch this Nineveh city fry. And he's sitting there, and he's kind of gloating in their judgment. And God says, hey, Jonah, watch this. They're all going to start repenting. The king issues a decree. Let's seek God and repent of our sins. The city of Nineveh began to repent. And Jonah says, that's great. That's just like you, God. If somebody repents, you'll forgive them. Jonah wanted them dead. Don't you want your enemies dead sometimes? Lord, I pray for my enemies. And if we were honest, we would really pray, Lord, kill them. Lord, pluck their eyes out. Pull their tongue until it snaps out of their mouth. Like David prayed, break their teeth off in their mouth. Man, God says, now calm down. I don't delight in this stuff. In Ezekiel 18, verse 32, the Bible says, for I have no pleasure in the death of those who die, says the Lord. Therefore, turn and live. Ezekiel 33, verse 11. Say to the people, as I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should turn from their ways. Turn, turn from your evil way that you should live. Why should you die, says God? And you might say, well, I don't believe in God, but I'm not wicked. Listen, the word wicked means that you're not justified by God. You're not deemed righteous by God. That means you're wicked if you haven't been. Well, gee, how do I get to be deemed righteous by God? Come to Jesus Christ right away. Now. Right? Now. Don't wait. In John chapter 3, verse 18, the Bible says, he who believes in Jesus is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. That means the judgment is looming over them. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is their condemnation, that the light has come into the world, but men love their darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were wicked or evil. In Acts 17:31, the Bible says, for God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man Christ Jesus, whom he has ordained. The Lord has given assurance of this to all people by raising Jesus from the dead. Now, for us who are Christians, the empty tomb in Jerusalem is a great, great announcement of forgiveness and of freedom and of being liberated from our sins. But to a world that is unbelieving in Christ, that empty tomb in Jerusalem is a great indictment. That empty tomb stands there hollow. And it speaks of their impending judgment unless they come to Christ. And they need to come to Christ. The world needs to come to Him. Like Jericho today, the earth is doomed according to biblical prophecy. And we'll see it this morning in our study. Let's look at the first point, a matter of life or death. That's in verses 17 through 19. And that is, rejecting God will cost you everything. Why gamble? Rejecting God will cost you everything. Why gamble? Put yourself in the place of Jericho. It had heard about the greatness of God. It had seen the children of Israel coming around them and encamping near them and circling about them for 6 days. They knew that that army that was being led by the commander of the Lord's host, remember who that was, they knew that army was invincible. Do you know anybody who's not a Christian who looks at your life and says, man, you're blessed. You're just flat out blessed. Yes, you know, I am blessed by God. Why don't you become a Christian? No, that's okay. It's good for you. If it works for you, that's fine. But I got my own thing. What is your own thing? Well, it's this guy down the street. He sells cocaine at half
price. That's it?
It's my Budweiser. That's it? That's your thing? It's my power. You have no power. Try to keep yourself alive someday. My goodness, just this last week, the police chief of Anaheim, after 4 weeks earlier getting a clean bill of health, perfect examination for his health, running with the SWAT team, exercising, drops dead of a heart attack, massive heart attack. Now, I was told by an Anaheim police officer that that man loved the Lord. Hallelujah. He's in heaven. The Lord bless his family that's been left behind. But the Bible says all of our days have been numbered. We don't know when our number will come. It's best that we know God now. Why risk losing everything? Jericho was risking everything. It says, now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who were in her house, because she hid the messengers that were sent. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take the accursed things, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. This city was rich and it had great things. And maybe they were trusting in that. As Jericho hides in its silence and the children of Israel circle about it, their time had run out. Now think about this for a moment and put yourself there. It's now the seventh day. They're making the circle. And if you were an Israeli soldier, you have been trained at war. And the priests are out front tooting the ram's horns. By now, there's probably the temptation, will you guys get out of the way? You can almost hear the swords going whoosh out of their sheath. All right, put your horns away. I've had enough of this marching around the building or mounting around this wall here. Let's go for it. Don't you think maybe impatience was pressing on them? Jericho had been silent. They were trembling with fear. But God has his way. God has his way of bringing down those things that stand against him. And they're nothing like our ways, nothing at all. In Zechariah 4, verse 6, the Bible says there that wars are won not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit, says the Lord of what? Hosts. The Lord of the armies. Wow. Verse 17, we need to see here that judgment comes because they have rejected him. Remembering, God doesn't delight in judgment. He's not an evil God of the Old Testament and a loving God of the New. No, he's one and the same. He says, now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction and all who are in it. They had rejected him and their hour had come. This judgment is no graver, no more hard than the man who dies today without Christ. Their hour had come. And their commander had led them, according to Joshua chapter 5, the theophanies of Christ, there with his sword drawn, leading them into battle. The judgment was coming. God showed up himself to execute this judgment. It's Israel's first war inside the promised land. Another thing we see here is that there's mercy. Yes, there's judgment coming to those who reject Christ, but look at the mercy extended to those who do receive him. It says in verse 17, only Rahab, isn't that tragic? Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and those within her house, because she received in the messengers. She did that by faith. Think about that this morning. There's a crowd in this sanctuary. I hope all of you are going to go to heaven. Statistically, that's not the case. But I hope, by the way, our God is not a God of statistics, thank God. Let's say all of you are born again and filled with the Spirit of God. You're going to heaven. Can you imagine if somebody walked in and the scripture says there, oh, you're all going except John, except Mike, except Kathy or whoever. That would be so frightening. But the fact of the matter is, Kathy, John, or whoever's got a chance to get on board. Rod Stewart sang a song a couple years ago, "People Get Ready, This Train's A-Comin'." Well, that's an old hymn. It's picking up passengers from coast to coast, and it's bound for his land, glory. The big question is, are you going to get on board? Or are you going to let the train go on by? Rahab got on board, so to speak, by faith. Could the entire city have received God? Absolutely yes, but they refused him. So judgment comes. But even in the midst of this judgment, there's mercy. And look what it says here. Don't you love this? I don't know about you, but you ever struggle with sin? You laughed, but three of you raised your hand, you bunch of liars. We struggle with sin. Can you imagine? Look, it says right here, in the Bible. There's no hiding it. Rahab the harlot. Now, if we had it our way, it'd say, Rahab the harlot dies. But God has it his way. Rahab the harlot what? Lives. All of a sudden, we all qualify. Rahab is no better than those in the city of Jericho, and she's no worse than those in Jericho. She could have been possibly the worst one in Jericho. Knowing God's wonderful nature, she probably was. She's going to be saved. Mercy. Verse 18, there's a warning about the coming judgment that we live separated lives. It says, and you, that's the children of Israel, by all means, abstain. Don't get anywhere near the accursed things, lest you become accursed. When you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. Now, sad to say, in chapter 7, this terrible announcement is going to be fulfilled because someone's going to blow it. Why? Why this warning? It says, lest you be accursed. When you take of the accursed things. This lets you in, a little snapshot, into the city of Jericho. They were extremely pagan, and you and I have no idea how bad. They, in that culture, sacrificed their children to idols. Their firstborn child that was born, just think, husband, wife, mother-to-be, you're pregnant. 9 months you carry that child. That child is born and that child is taken at its birth by the high priest of these pagan cults and marched over to these burning altars and that child screaming placed upon it. Gods of pleasure, gods of sex, gods of wealth. Interestingly, today, some 4,000 children a week are being sacrificed on the altar of pleasure. By abortion today. This kid is an interruption in my life. I don't have any room for it. Put it upon the altar. It was a pagan city, a pagan place, a pagan nation. They had temple rites and rituals where they practiced very bizarre sex. Not only homosexuality, which God says is an accursed thing, it is an abomination to God, but also bestiality. There were people having sex with animals. Archaeological discoveries show us that they have carvings of this culture when they show these people engaged in intercourse with animals. Sick, freakish things that when the human soul is left to itself without God and without God's standard of holiness and righteousness to be there as a pillar, men left to themselves are destroyed. And the scripture says here that whatever is in that city is to be consecrated to God and you stay away from it. Why? Because it was a dangerous thing. They had idols, which unfortunately they don't heed the warning and they wind up bowing down to later on in these chapters of this great book and destruction comes to Israel because they would bow down to these idols and begin to mimic what the idol portrays. Do you understand what I'm saying? If the idol showed a man with a man, then that's what they practiced in this worship. If it showed a woman with a woman, that's what they practiced. Do you hear me? We don't have them carved out so much anymore. We have them printed up in pictures. It's called pornography, and interestingly enough, the word in the Hebrew is the same word now in the Greek written in your Bible, porneia. Pornography. It destroys a soul much earlier than it destroys a family. Ask any man or any woman who's bent on pornography. They're destroyed on the inside. They're dying, and their family's dying. God says, I'm warning you, live a separate life from these idols. Don't even get near them. Why? Because he doesn't want them to have any fun? Are you kidding? Don't take those idols home because you could have some fun. Oh, no. Don't take those idols home. It'd kill you. Don't let that in your house. Watch out for cable. Cable? Who needs cable anymore? Look at the stinking TV advertisements. Insane world we live in. But now, if you make a statement, well, take the TV out of your house if that's your problem. What? I can't come back to this church anymore. Why? The pastor said I should take the TV out of my house. Isn't that fun? People sitting around this blue idol that's glowing in the night. You know, and it's funny, people can just be having the greatest time and then it's on. Get thee behind me. Idols, watch out. Is that where you spend your time? Whatever you spend your time in front of and whatever dictates and governs your life is an idol. Be careful. There's idols in our lives. It says in verse 19, but all the silver, all the gold, the vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord, and they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Now gold and silver, that, by the way, speaks of the idols and also jewelry that they would wear. They had even their idols carved out and worn upon them around their neck or on their fingers. And again, amazingly, the archaeological evidence of this is overwhelming, how people would carry their little gods with them around their necks. Some of them, there were gods that would protect them against evil. Some of the gods around their neck or on their fingers would protect them against bad health. Various gods that would protect them against the gods of certain evils. Isn't that funny? If they had that thing around their neck, they deemed themselves safe. An idol. It's nice to wear a cross, but that cross is not going to protect you. I think people, Christians, should wear a cross for this reason. That God might use it as an open door of witnessing. Well, that's all the cross is good for. Hanging around your neck. Somebody says, oh, are you a Christian? That's right, are you? By the way, everything that's of value, so to speak, in this portion of Scripture returns back to God, and eventually everything returns back to God. Even your soul returns back to its maker, says Ecclesiastes.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, in a study called A Matter of Life or Death, it's a look at the last 11 verses of chapter 6 of Joshua, which tell the account of Joshua and the people of Israel entering and taking over Jericho after that wall miraculously fell down before them. A Matter of Life or Death is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse journey through this incredible Old Testament book, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now remember, you can always go online and listen to today's edition of Real Radio, as well as past programs. You can also subscribe to podcasts of Real Radio while you're at our website. Just visit realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org, and you'll know right where to point and click. realradioactive.org. It's real easy. Our telephone number is 1-877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.